Before I'm going to get to this message, it's very important that I tell you this. That we are standing in a dream that God has given me. It's just a dream. It all happened through a dream. I'm a traveling preacher, actually, by nature. I'm an evangelist. I've been traveling the world. I never thought to myself that I'm going to have a church. God spoke to me and said, I want you to start a church, but a church of a difference. I want you to start a church that will house the manifest presence of the Spirit of God, where people will come from everywhere. And this is what God spoke to me about. He said, people will not just come from this area. People will drive from everywhere, and it will be a people. I want to say that it will be a people who will be hungry for the true, genuine power of the Holy Spirit. And so I was standing in a service the one day, and I heard God say to me, will you trust me? Because for those of you who do not know the background, very quickly, I'm not going to be boring. I'm going to try to put fire as much as I can, okay? But when I started off a church in a warehouse, and I got into the warehouse, I asked God, who's going to fill this place? Where will people come from? And God filled the warehouse in 6 months. There was not enough seats. But we bought plastic chairs. I'll never forget this. After one service, we drove to Macro, and we bought 200 extra chairs to house everybody. And in 6 months, God filled the church. So the one Wednesday evening, I was standing in front of this plastic chair, and I said, God, I'm trusting you for material seats that people can sit comfy. And so that Sunday came, and we were in worship, and I heard the voice of God asking me, will you trust me? And I said to him, Lord, I will trust you. Oh, I will trust you. So we were going into worship deeper. Now, what do I mean deeper? Well, now I'm closer to the presence. Deeper. And I heard the second time, will you trust me? And I started crying. I said, oh God, you know my heart. You know I'll trust you. So we went in deeper into worship, and suddenly I knew it was just me and God. I heard a voice again, will you really, really trust me? And the third time I answered him, I said, I will really trust you. And I understood that, the first time I said, I trust you, it's the flesh. It's the flesh. I'll never deny you. The second time was the soul that spoke. It's the feeling, the emotion that said, I'll trust you. And the third time when God came to me, it was my spirit man that rose up and said, I'll absolutely trust you. That same night, I had a dream. I was preaching in an auditorium, and the auditorium was empty. And I was preaching to a handful of people. But in the dream, I heard the voice of the Spirit of God saying to me, do not be discouraged. As you preach, I will fill the place. So in the same dream, the longer I preached, the more people came. And the people came, and the people came. And in the same dream, in front of my eyes, the whole auditorium started changing shape. And the seats changed, and the walls started changing, and I was preaching and preaching, and God filled it up. And the same dream, I'm still in the same dream, for the third time I saw a stadium-like church where people were coming from everywhere, and the glory of God was just falling. And in the same dream, I walked out of the church in the same dream into a shop, and there was a preacher, a well-known preacher, that sat behind the counter, and he looked up, and he said to me, God said he's going to give you a big church. And I woke, I cried myself in such a fashion that I woke up still sobbing. And I received a call that morning, and somebody on the other line told me, listen, I've got a venue, and I don't want to hear your excuses. This is what the man said to me. I don't want to hear your excuses. You better get up and start to move your faith. And I said to him, where's the venue? He sent me the location. I walked in here, and it was exactly what I saw in the dream. And here's the catch. Now, it's a half an hour from where we used to be. So it means that I'm going to have to start a whole new church. And to have the funds. And God said to me, you're not going to rent it. It's going to be yours. So I called him. I said to him, I called the owner. I said, I want to buy this church. I need to buy it because God has given me a vision. When I walked in here, I saw homes everywhere. And I saw how we're going to give to the poor. We're going to help the widows. That's our heart's desire. And how are we going to feed people? And it's going to be a place where people will come from everywhere. So I knew I cannot rent it. It's going to have to be ours. So I said, oh, I want to buy the place. He said, yes, he got an offer for 22 million cash. And he asked me, how much do you have? Well, I've got faith in my pocket. I've got Jesus in my heart. Can I have a witness? And so I said to him, well, I want to buy it. And he said, well, he's got an offer for 22 million. And he says, I'll call you tomorrow. I'm going to think about it. I'll call you back tomorrow. The next day, he called me again. And he said to me, he said, did you enjoy the venue? I said, I like the venue, but I need to buy the venue. And he said, I'll come back to you. I have to think about the amount. I'll come back to you. And so he called me the third time. I said, how much? He said, do you know what? I wanted to sell the place, but then you came into my life and you messed up my plans. I said, what do you mean? He says, I cannot sell you the place. I cannot. I thought, ah. He says, I will give you the place, but there's just debt that you have to pay off. If the debt is off, the place is yours. I spoke to the guy who built this place, the first guy whose place this was. 5 years ago, they came to this, EPSA came to the property, evaluated it at 30 million. 5 years ago, 30 million. So 4 hectares, 40,000 squares. And he spoke to me and he said, just pay off the debt. And I said, how much is the debt? He says, I think it's about 3.6 million. And I thought, 22 million to 3.6. I said, I'll take it. That's what I said to him. And then he called me back. He says, no, I was wrong. It's 2.8 million. Now, they have been putting a lot of strain on us. But I want to tell you something. We are only shy of 2 million. 800, done. Waar is die oproep vandag? Here, help us. It might be small to you. For those who has not been behind the scenes from the word go, you'll understand every step of the way has been a step of faith. We have been ridiculed, laughed at, mocked. You know, you come in here, it's comfortable, it's nice. It wasn't this way when we moved in here. When it was raining, water came out everywhere. We have spent so much money in this place. And I know it's hot. I made a declaration this morning to the 8 o'clock people. I said that we're going to trust God this week that we'll install new air conditioning system. And it costs, unfortunately, it costs 100,000 to put up air cons. It's a big space. Just this auditorium is 670 squares. You need 280,000 BTUs at least. But I said to God that we serve a big God. Okay, I'm going to try that again. We serve a big God. And there's nothing impossible for him. And today I want to say from my heart, before I'm going to get to the message, and I believe this message is going to flow in, I want to say thank you from my heart to each one that has been standing with us by our side through the hard times, the good times. I've got people here that has been crying with me, crying with my wife, crying with my family. They have been laughing with us. They have been going through stuff. Tinus and I had a discussion the other day. He said, you know, in the 2 years that I've been with you, full time now, he says that your life, the faith that you walk in, is something that I cannot fathom. He says, just when you do so, it's faith. Absolutely everything is ridiculous faith. And this is why we're standing in a place of faith. Everything that God has done up to this point is absolute faith. Come on, I need to speak to faith people. It's absolutely faith. You know, I'm never big about money. I believe that God supplies the need. But we have come to a place in 3 years where our budget to do everything is 300,000 a month. Now, I think you'll hear me. For a church that operates for a year, it's impossible. It's not free to keep the lights on. I showed them the other day, 46,000 just for electricity. Where does it come from? I'm going to show you. This is what I do. This is what my wife do. This is what my kids do. This is how we pay the bills. But for a year, people has been ridiculing me. I want to ask you to just put that scripture on the board and just keep it there. Paul says to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Just keep it on. I want to read this again. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, I want to read it until it becomes revelation. I have fought. He didn't say it was an easy fight. He says, I was fighting the fight of faith. But he says it's a good fight. He says it's a good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And here's the most important part. I have kept the faith. Please shout this with me. I have kept the faith. Come on, one more time. Come on, I want to hear you. I have kept the faith when it was good. I have kept the faith. When it was bad, I kept the faith. I was keeping the faith when I was down in the valley, and I kept the faith when I was on the mountain. So I'm preaching to somebody that believes this morning that you have fought the good fight, you have finished the race, and you have kept the faith. Is there somebody like that in this house? I want you to shout, I have kept the faith. Come on. One more time. One more time. Now, I believe that every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every great man has felt it. Every champion has felt it. Okay, come on, help me out. Every soldier has felt it. The urge to quit. Every great king has felt the urge to quit. Every champion has felt the urge to quit. A champion wasn't just born a champion. He was training. Come on, he was running the race. He was doing stuff while other people were sleeping. He was training. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. And everybody, come on, kings and presidents and soldiers and athletes, everybody had the urge to quit. Where's the people that knows what I'm talking about? Just wave at me that you had the urge somewhere in your life. Even maybe it's this morning that you have the urge to quit, to give up, to throw in the towel and just to say that I am done. Come on, where's the real people? You're in church, you can't lie. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Vessel, I know what it means to have the urge to quit. But I need to say this from the word go. Do not give up on your dream. Do not give up on your dream. Do not lose the faith. God has not brought you this far to leave you. He has not brought you this far to back out on you and to walk away from you. You have to fight the good fight of faith and keep the faith. The urge is there to quit. The urge is there to give up. But you know there's a saying, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. When I believe of all of my heart, when God created man, he created greatness on the inside of him. You are not just here by chance. You are here because you are great and there's greatness bestowed upon your life. And you are not called to give up. I said, you're not called to back down. You're not called to throw in the towel. You are supposed to live out your dream. The very thing that God has placed in your heart. For every time the world says no, God says twice yes. Yes. Come on, what God has blessed, no man can curse. If you believe it, jump on your feet and give him a crazy shout of praise in his house. I have kept the faith. I'm speaking to people who had the urge to quit. Can you wave at me? You have come to a place where you're like, I'm just done. And you don't have the background for it. You don't have the friends for it. You don't have the money for it. You don't have the following for it. You don't have the strength for it. You don't have the courage for it. I'm here as the servant of the Most High God to tell you that God is about to do something for you. What is he going to do? If you know the game chess, you know, when you play the game chess, it's actually a game, it's an intense game. And it's a game that you have to think about it and you have to do certain things. And the enemy likes to play chess. The enemy likes to move you from here to there. I'm gonna try to get to somebody. He likes to take out your queen. He likes to take out your men. And then he comes for the king. But I don't know if you know, and I'm not a much of a chess player myself, but I know that there's a move called checkmate. I'm here to declare to you, for every time Satan tries to take one thing out, Jesus steps in and he says, Satan, it's checkmate. It's checkmate, devil. Come on, somebody lift those voices and say, it's checkmate, Satan. Something broke this morning at 8 o'clock service. If you weren't here, you will not understand what I'm talking about. But something broke out in the spirit dimension. 8 o'clock service. This is why I need to get people on board this morning. That you understand that God is moving you to a position called checkmate. One move that brings the victory. God help us this day. God is bringing a move in your life. One move. And you'll say it's checkmate. Holy. I declare this to you. You're not created to give up or to throw in the towel. You were created to keep the faith. Please keep that scripture on the board. When it's good, you keep the faith. When it's bad, you keep the faith. It might take you twice as long. You're gonna have to maybe study twice as hard, but you're not going to back down for no devil in hell, for no faith obstacle, for no money issue. I declare this in the name of Jesus, that you shall live your purpose, you shall live your destiny, you will keep the faith. When it's good, you'll keep the faith. Come on, I can be honest with you right now. I can't lie. I have come to a place many times in my life where it seemed so dark that I didn't want to get out of my bed. You know, when it's bad that you, when you wake up, you don't even want to brush your teeth. You want to stay in that room and you want nobody to see you. Am I speaking to the right crowd? And you feel like it's just bad. Everything you, and you wonder, you ask God, why did you create me? Why am I even born? Am I born to go through all these motions and all this suffering? Am I created for all these things? And then suddenly there's an urge, there's a spirit that starts to speak on your spirit, on the inside of here. And you hear the word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You start to hear the scriptures come into your mind. Come on, that I know that what I've planned for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And then suddenly when you get yourself right, you understand that I have kept the faith. When you lose things, when you lose people, when you lose money, you keep the faith. If I had to quit every time people told me that this place is too big for a church that just starts off, we would have been somewhere in a tent. And many people who have not been impacted. The world, the nations of the world have not been touched. But I refused one morning. I woke up and I said, God, if I have been created in your image and in your likeness, it means that I have the ability that you have given me to overcome all these obstacles, whether people are for me or whether people are against me. Come on, I have kept the faith. I'm here to declare to somebody, it's not time to give up. It's not time to go and slit your wrists and drink those pills. It's time to get up and start fighting back. I have not heard that bell ring. I said, I have not heard that bell ring. Indeed, I tell you, it's time to put down that white cloth. It's time to put down that towel and start to fight back. I want to speak to people who are sick and tired of being pushed around. Come on, where's those who are sick and tired of being pushed around by Satan? Now it's time to understand that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. I'm speaking to people who knows what I'm talking about now. That through all of this, I have kept the faith. I didn't back down for no devil. If you sleep in my service, I'm gonna wake you up. If you snore, I'm gonna put the mic underneath your mouth. It's not a sleeping matter now. This is a rejoicing matter. I said, this is a rejoicing matter. No matter what Satan throws to you and your family, you shall fight the good fight of faith. In actual fact, I want to do something great. I pray to the Spirit of God. By the way, he's my best friend. I pray that he will light up a fire underneath your seat and in your heart this morning. I pray that bones shall caught fire in this place this morning. It will be set alight for the kingdom of God. I know it's early, but it's a good time to be awake now. It's a good time to believe the word of God only. Is there somebody in this place that believes the word of God? Come on, when you lose a spouse, you keep the faith. When you lose the job, you keep the faith. When sickness comes, you keep the faith. When you lose those contracts, you keep the faith. When people rises up against you, you keep the faith. When the lions roars against you, you keep the faith. When the storm is around your boat, you keep the faith. I'm here to tell you it's time, church, that we fight the good fight of faith. It's time that we grow up and keep the faith. Keep the faith when it's going your way and when it's not going your way. Come on, somebody. I want you to shout like you've never shouted before. You need to hear me. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You don't let the enemy tell you you're not worth it. Play my key for me, please. You don't let the enemy tell you you're not worth it. Okay, I'm going to speak to you here. You make a difference. If you're not there, they're going to feel it. You bring something to the table. You in the middle, I declare this to you. You mean the world. You mean the world to that place. You're not worthless. You make a difference. Your faith makes a difference. You are the reason why that company is still open. You are the reason why they're blessed. You're the reason why your family is still intact. I have kept the faith. Come on, shout it. I have kept the faith. We might not break the ribbons. We might not win the trophies. But we have kept our faith. Even if we took us longer, maybe you didn't cross that line as number one, but you did cross that line. Come on, can't you see it? Even for those who says, I have not yet crossed the line. Well, look up, it's right in front of you. Don't quit on your dream, don't quit on your vision. Joseph never quit on his dream, not even when his brother started ridiculing him. Not even when his brother said, here's the dream and let's see what comes of his dreams. I tell you right now, there's only one language that God understands, and that's the language of faith. That's the only language that God approves. That's the only language that he understands. It's when you're against all odds. When you fight every demon in hell and you still stand and you can still declare, I have fought the good fight, I have a faith. I have finished the race and I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, many people can't comprehend what you've got because they have never done what you've done. This morning, I want to tell each of my friends, each one of my family members in this place, family is you guys sitting here. Don't lose the faith. Fight that good fight of faith. When you lose that car, you fight the good fight of faith. When you lose that house, when you have to move in with your mama, you keep the faith. When they kick you out of your house, you keep the faith. When you receive that divorce decree, you keep the faith. When fear knocks on your door, you keep the faith. Come on, when doubt sneaks into your heart and you don't know how it's going to happen, how you just keep the faith. I declare this in the name of Jesus, that this very hour God is aligning things in the spirit. The real people, the people that you need and the people that need you shall align up with your vision and shall line up with your dream, and you will not back down. Come on, you better declare this to Satan and say, I'm not backing down, not now, not tomorrow, not ever. I'm keeping the faith. I'm standing. When the storm is raging against you, you better keep the faith. It's easy to shout amen on a Sunday. It's something else to apply it on a Monday. Keep the faith. When all hell breaks out against you, you better keep the faith. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the desert, Satan came and told him, it is written. It is written. Then Jesus will answer him back, this is written. This is written. But you know, there's a scripture that says that we have to submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's time. You can never resist Satan unless you submit to God. And this is where we keep the faith. So when I keep the faith, I submit unto God, then every devil that comes against me, I can command that thing to go in the name of Jesus. Like I do right now, I rebuke that demonic force that touches your mind right now. Come on, it brings doubt and fear into your mind. I break it off by the power of the Holy Ghost now in Jesus' name. And I declare you free, you and your household. You are free in Jesus' name. Come on, that house that you are looking for, you stand your faith. That car that you are praying for, you stand. That promotion you are waiting for, you stand your faith. The drier the bones, the greater the miracles. The drier the bones, the greater the miracle. Even if I just, I want to ask quickly, this is a different service. I need five people, just five. It says, Vessel, I'm standing in faith right now. You don't look at how dry that bones are. I'm speaking to people with faith that says, I'm about to speak a word to my dry season. I have given. step of faith. I want you to lift those voices. I want you to lift those voices and say, I will keep my faith. I will rather lose people, but I'll keep my faith. Do you believe that? Say, no weapon. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up in judgment shall be condemned in Jesus' name. If you believe it, come on, give him a shout of praise. You may take your seats just for a minute. I have to be honest, I said it earlier. I have those days. I have those days that I feel like just laying in my bed. And you know, those days, those hours, those minutes, they come and they pass. I want to say this to you prophetically. This too shall pass. Those seasons come and they will pass and they will come to pass. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. But I have kept the faith. Last night as I was standing in here, there's a lot of things that came from my mind. I lost a lot of stuff. My family and I, we lost a lot of friends. Lost a lot of strength, a lot of courage, a lot of hope, a lot of money, a lot of time. Come, I'm speaking to people who say, Vessel, I've lost a lot of time. I've lost a lot of time, lost a lot of money. But you know what we've done? We've kept down on our knees. That's how we fight the good fight of faith. It's down on our knees, still believing. Broke, I was believing. Come on, I want you to shout, broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was believing. I had kept the faith. If you lose the job, keep the faith. If you lose the spouse, keep the faith. If you bury that child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in a family, keep the faith. If you lose the car, keep the faith. If you lose the house, keep the faith. If you lose the friends, keep the faith. Stand on your last promise that God has given you and see it come in fulfillment. You see, this is the thing about man and seasons and times. People change us, but God never changes. Who hears me? He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the only one that's constant in your life. People change, but the promises of God is yes and amen. Am I speaking to you? God gives you a prophetic word. He gives you a promise, and people live your life. Don't think for a moment that the promise leaves your life. No, people live your life, like I said this morning, but the promise remains the same. Even if it means that God uses the vehicle to bring your miracle, even if that changes. Come on, can I throw in something? Can I throw in something? I always use Elijah as an example because Elijah truly represents the church and its power. Absolutely. And when Elijah went through a drought, God made a promise to him and he said that I'm going to send ravens to feed you. Who knows that scripture? Even in the drought, Elijah kept the faith. Come on, please shout it. I will keep the faith. Come on, one more time. Even in bad news, you keep the faith. Even in the drought, you keep the faith. So the Bible says every day the ravens came to feed Elijah and the brook fed him with water. And I like what the scripture says, when the brook dried up, the ravens stopped from coming. But when Elijah didn't see the ravens coming, he still kept the faith. Because he who has promised that I'll take care of you in the drought is still faithful to his word. When the raven stopped, Elijah didn't say, well, the great provider has stopped. No, that's not what he said. Do you know what happened? When the ravens couldn't come, God spoke to a widow. In other words, the provision didn't stop. The vehicle that brought the miracle changed. Come on, up room, help me out in this place. He has kept the faith. The same God that supplies the meat and the bread shall supply the widow. When the widow couldn't supply no more, provision didn't stop. God supplied an angel And the angel came to feed him. The provision didn't stop. The vehicle that brought the miracle changed again. He kept his faith. I needed to speak to somebody about this morning. Even if I'm just here for one person, that you're at your wit's end, you're about to throw in the towel, don't do it as yet. There's a miracle coming. There's a miracle. I said, there's a miracle coming. You keep your faith. When the bills come, you keep. When the drought comes, when the politics, what do? We keep dreaming. We keep pushing. We keep running after the vision. Come on, we keep running after the mission. We don't back down because there's hurdles along the way. No, what do we do with hurdles? We run hurdles over because the Bible says that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll make the crooked path straight. Oh, blessed are the feet of those who ministers the gospel of peace. I'm keeping the faith this morning. When your cupboards are empty, you keep the faith. When your bank balance is so negative that you owe the bank money, you keep the faith. Why would you back down because of one hurdle? A hurdle is a sign of how big and mighty this breakthrough is. I'm not just here speaking to you about a good story. And I want to take no honor and glory for what I'm saying now. It belongs to Jesus. But one thing that God taught me is faith. That's one thing that I can teach on for days is faith, faith, faith. What it means to stand when everybody else is failing away. You know, people are people that will stand with you when it's good. Most of the times when the times are bad, people are bad too. Come on, where's the real people that knows what I'm talking about? And you know true friends in your hardest times. You know who's your true friends. Then you understand who really are those who's for you. Come on, somebody. You'll really understand who's your family in the day when everything is bad. I thank God. Me, my wife, my children can stand here this morning and say we've got a great family.